Well, it's been a good morning so far. if you haven't been able to tell, we're going to talk about Jesus today. I suppose there's really nothing greater than we can preach about, than we can sing about, pray about. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning is Jesus. A couple weeks ago, similar to Michael, I was given the opportunity to speak in Arkansas, and they had given basically a weekend for everybody to come to where we can glorify Jesus and talk about Jesus. And that's really what I'm preaching about this morning, made some changes, but we're going to talk about the name of Jesus and who he is. And to start this morning, I want us to think about if we had the opportunity, if we were given the blessing of being one of Jesus' disciples. I mean, can you imagine what that would be like? About actually seeing Jesus and walking with Jesus, witnessing all that he performed, the miracles that he got to do. Well, in Luke chapter 19, his followers, the disciples had been following him around for quite some time. This is near the end of his ministry. And they were just excited. They were excited about who Jesus is, and they wanted to praise God. They shout, "Hosanna, glory to God in the highest." They praise God. They had seen firsthand the miracles that Jesus performed. They saw firsthand his compassion towards the entire world and people in dark situations and just going through life. And so Jesus is riding on a donkey. Maybe you're familiar with that prophecy. He's around Jerusalem, and they're praising God. Well, the disciples were not the only ones that were there. The Pharisees were also there. And they looked at the disciples and they looked at Jesus and they told Jesus, they said, "Master, teacher, rebuke your disciples. They're causing a commotion. They need to be quiet." Now, what would you think about that if you were one of the disciples and the Pharisees are saying, "You know, you're being a little too loud"? You know what Jesus said to them? He said, "If these were silent, the very stones would cry out." I want to talk about a profound statement. You know, I suppose if all the churches today shut their doors, nobody came to church on Sunday morning, nobody wanted to worship God, everyone went home, did what they wanted to do, that God is still going to be praised. You know why? Because the rocks are going to cry out. The rocks are going to cry out. Maybe you're familiar with the song, "Ain't No Rock." Talks about basically the rocks crying out to God, says, "Ain't no rock gonna cry in my place. As long as I'm alive, I'll glorify his holy name." You know, the truth is we shouldn't let a rock replace us. We have much to be grateful for. We have so many things that we can thank Jesus for in realizing who Jesus is. And Jesus said that if us, his disciples or the apostles or whoever, were to keep their peace, that the stones are going to cry out. The fact is, this morning, Jesus is my everything. There's a lot of words that that we can describe Jesus as that you can probably think of. And so the best way I could summarize it is Jesus is my everything. And you think about the name Jesus Christ. That's a name that we use, you know, a lot of times. We use it in our prayers. We pray about Jesus. We sing about Jesus. We preach about Jesus. Maybe we'll hear the name of Jesus brought up at our workplace. Maybe we'll go to social media. People will talk about Jesus. Jesus is just mentioned all the time. Do we understand the weight that's carried with the name of Jesus and how important he really is? I want you to think for just a moment about the name of Jesus. The Bible says that it's the name above every other name. The Bible says his name is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the great I Am. He has done the unthinkable time after time, the unimaginable time after time. He walked on water. He turned water into wine. He fed 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And yes, maybe even greatest of all, Jesus Christ is God. He's God. Now, whenever I was a boy, I had the difficulty of understanding this, and it's you know, hard to grasp sometimes. I a lot of times thought God is the Father. And, you know, I would think about Jesus, you know, in a little different way. But the truth is this morning, Jesus is God. And I want to tell you, Jesus is enough. Jesus is everything. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. He is superior. He is supreme. And in the times of Jesus, it was difficult for people to understand that. I mean, try to put yourself in their shoes. For 2,000 years, the children of Israel had been God's chosen people. They never saw Jesus. They didn't know Jesus was coming, you know. Well, they knew about the prophecies, but they never got to see him face to face. And many of them had a difficulty really understanding how God, Jesus, taking in the form of God, would actually come to the earth. And, you know, we should honestly struggle with that thought today ourselves because of how holy God is and Jesus being God. And in the book of Colossians, Paul addresses these types of difficulties in talking about the greatness of Jesus. And there's many statements that he uses, and that's what I want to look at for just a few moments with you. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15, it says, he, referring to Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. Did you know that God is here right now? Raise your hand if you can see God. Anybody? Anybody can see God? No. Why can't you see him? Because he's invisible. Of course you can't see God. But he's here. Bible says that God is omnipresent. He's everywhere all the time. And it said that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Think about that. The image. That means a mirror-like representation, referring to what is very close in resemblance. What that basically means, what he's talking about here, is that Jesus was willing to come down from God's house, from heaven above. He was willing to leave that, a place of perfection and holiness and just amazing. And he was willing to leave all of that to come to earth and to represent God, the Father, on earth. It was last week we were at Gunner. We were going to, they had a singing instruction this past weekend. I had gone inside the building and somebody was there and they looked confused whenever I said hi to them. They said, didn't you already say hi to me? I said, no, I didn't say hi to you yet. And they said, oh, that must have been your dad. And as I get older, I guess there's sometimes a difficulty people thinking me is my dad. And I'm sure they don't think of him as me, but maybe me as my dad, you know. And we can think about it like that, but really, in essence, if you wanted to see God the Father, you could see him through Jesus Christ, through his Son. And it's hard to just wrap our minds around that, how God the Father was willing to come down, or God the Son, Jesus, was willing to come down to leave heaven and to dwell among us. The Bible in the book of John talks about that, how he dwelt among us. He was the light among the darkness. And you know why he did that? You know something that Jesus can understand that God the Father can't? That's really being a human. And Jesus can understand everything that we go through today because he was 100% God and 100% human at the same time. Also says that he is the firstborn over all creation. Some might take that concept and run with it and maybe not understand and say that Jesus was created. We know that's not the case, right? Jesus was present at the day of creation. When it means, when it's saying firstborn over all creation, maybe you're familiar with the Old Testament and how the firstborn would be able to inherit the glory and be able to become king, that type of thing throughout Old Testament history. And really, that's what it's talking about here. When it's saying firstborn, that's first in title, first in rank. That means all the glory has been passed down from the Father to Jesus. That you can't have God the Father without Jesus. You can't. And you can't have Jesus the Son without the Father. All the glory had been passed down from the Father to Jesus Christ. He's the firstborn over all creation. And perhaps one of the greatest things that we can try to understand is Jesus himself was not just resembling God, and he not only received the glory and inherited the glory, but he was the creator himself. It says that for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. If you want to see Jesus' power on full display, if you really want to try to grasp and understand it, you can go all the way back to day one of our existence, and he was there. And not only was he there, he created us. He created us. And we talk about creation sometimes, and I don't think we can truly appreciate that. I mean, if you go outside today and you go to Colorado, you go to the Grand Canyon, you see these amazing things that are unexplainable by man's hands. You can see the stars at night. You can see things that are just amazing to look at. And God created all of that. God, the Son, Jesus. And not only that, but on a personal level, he created you. Think about that. Jesus wanted you here on earth. He created you. Now, I understand there's a parent's role in that type of thing and how that comes about. But at the end of the day, at the core, Jesus created us. He created your voice. He created your talents. Everything about you, he created. Now, I'm not talking about your choices, but I'm talking about your personality. I'm talking about the gifts that he's given you. He knows the very hairs on our head. He has them numbered. He knows that. You think Jesus cares about us? He cares so much about us that he wanted us here. He could have decided to create really anybody. He could have made us all robots. He could have given dominion to the animals. But he created you and he created me. It says, by him, through him, and for him. Every intricate detail about you and about this world was created by Jesus. And get this, it was for him. You were created for Jesus, for his glory. I want you to see this. By him, all things were created. All things were created through him. He is before all things, and in him, all things. Is there anything left out? There's nothing left out. Jesus is the creator. All creation cries out to its creator and speaks of Jesus' greatness. And we ought to do the same today. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, continuing on, it says he is the head of the church, the head of the body, the church who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Jesus is the head of the church. The church has been around a while today, hasn't it? You remember back to the day of Pentecost when 3,000 souls obeyed the gospel and were saved? The church has been around a long time. And there's been elders, there's been deacons that have come, that have gone. At this time, there were apostles. But there's something I think that we forget about a lot of times as the church. And that is that the most important part of the church is Jesus. Is Jesus. It's easy to get caught up in doing the work of the church, and we need to be doing the work of the church. But we must never forget that the head of the church is Jesus. It's not anybody else. It's Jesus. It says he's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. I think everything that Paul talks about in this entire book goes to this verse here. Being that he may have the preeminence. What that means is that he is number one. Jesus is number one. He's first place. He's the best of the best. And if I can use a terminology maybe that Jacob McCorkle would use, he's the GOAT. He's the greatest of all time. It's the truth. He is the best of the best. There is nobody greater than Jesus. You could think about everything that all of us have done. You could think about anything any man has done, but Jesus is at the very top of the list as number one. And here's the thing. If we don't honor Jesus as Creator, as Lord, as the King of Kings, then we're not giving Him the honor and praise that He deserves. We're not honoring Him as King. But He ought to have the preeminence. He ought to be number one in our lives. Jesus is greater than anything we could ever imagine. Now, Paul has given these, amazing statements about Jesus and how powerful He is and speaking of His greatness, but he kind of turns the page a little bit, and I want to see what he says. It says, "For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross." It pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell. What that means is God the Father looked down on the earth when Jesus walked, when Jesus was born of a virgin, when He performed those miracles, when He embodied Him, He was pleased. He was happy. He saw Jesus. And get this, it pleased Him so much that He chose Him, His only Son, Jesus, to reconcile us back to Him. It was by Him, having made peace through the blood of His cross. I don't have to tell you this morning what that reconciliation required. You know that. You're a Christian. You know what Jesus had to do. He had to pour out His blood on a cross. It says, "And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked words, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight." Now, we may not think of ourselves, you know, as bad. I'm not an enemy of God. I'm a friend of God. But the Bible says that we were all once alienated and enemies in our minds by wicked works. Whatever we have done in our lives has caused us separation, has caused God to literally give us His Son to reconcile us back to Him. And the amazing thing is this, the good news is this, we can be presented holy, blameless, and above reproach in His sight. That when God sees us, He sees His Son. Brothers and sisters, we talk about these things. We talk about these things often, but we have to truly appreciate that. We have to make it personal. I go around different places. I talk to a lot of different people, and I talk about how Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. You may have said that to somebody, but make it personal. Honestly, think about this. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me. He found me. He rescued me. He saved me. He healed me. He revived me. He set me free. He forgave me. He bought me. And He loved me. Can you say with confidence this morning from your chair all of those statements? Without a doubt in your mind? You think that Jesus knows what a rough life looks like? Where His own creation would beat Him to death? Where He would literally humble Himself so much? He could have stayed in heaven and He came down. And He lived a perfect life. And He would let His own creation beat Him and kill Him and nail Him to a cross. You think Jesus can understand what we're going through? I think He can understand more than anybody that has ever lived on this earth. All these statements mean so much to me and I'm sure to you. But one thing that I think about is being rescued and when you think about being rescued, you're being rescued from something, being saved from something. And it reminds me of a time when I was younger. when I was at a team party. I played baseball, and we had a team party, and I didn't know how to swim. And a lot of my teammates, I guess they thought that was funny. They decided to push me in the deep end. And so, you know, I can remember being pushed in the deep end. I was, you know, falling back and going down. They say that you know, you learn by being pushed in the deep end. Apparently that didn't work for me. I don't know why. You know, trial by fire, that didn't work for me. But I can remember a little bit about that day, and I remember just going down in the water and feeling absolutely helpless and not knowing what to do. And of course, somebody came and rescued me and took me out of the water. And, you know, I could have died that day. I really could have died if I just would have stayed there. And we have to understand and accept the fact that all of us, every single one of us that can understand what Jesus has done for us, can understand that that was us spiritually going down into the depths of the ocean where you and I were going to die, and Jesus came and rescued us. You can think about the person like the lifeguard coming down and taking that person's hand and rescuing them. That's what Jesus did for us. But Jesus didn't just do that and it happened once and it meant something back then, but it still impacts us today. Did you know that? That he finds us. He forgives me. He loves me. He saves me. He sets me free today. As long as I'm following after him and doing what I can, he still knows where I'm at. He will still save me. And I can have confidence in that. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Jesus being on a cross. We've talked about how great Jesus is and how he is God in the flesh. Doesn't it seem a little backwards to you this morning that Jesus was on a cross? Doesn't that seem backwards to you? I mean, we talked about what we've done, right? We've talked about our sin and what it did to Jesus. Shouldn't it be us on the cross? It should. All of us. But Jesus was the only one who could make us righteous. So my question to you is, if God asked you to get on a cross, would you? Knowing what you've done to him and what you've done to Jesus. If God asked you to get on a cross today, would you? The Bible says that we are to get on a cross. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is a beautiful passage, but let's be real here for a second. The cross is not some, you know, nice thing, is it? The cross is where criminals go die. Now, Jesus was not a criminal, but yet he was the one that had to be put on a cross. A lot of times we talk about the cross in many different ways today. You know, we may have a cross around our neck and nothing wrong with that. But the cross is not some good thing. But the beautiful thing is that we can die. We can be on a cross with Jesus. You know, sometimes when we go throughout our life, we may think that we are literally the only ones on a cross, where we're picking up that cross. And if you remember back to the day that Jesus died, and if you remember back to the time that he carried that cross up that hill and how heavy it was, then you know today that you are not alone whenever you pick up your cross. We can die with Jesus. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 9, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Jesus said, follow me. You know what that means? That means that it's hard. That means that it's difficult when we're nailing ourselves to a cross, giving rid of all of our evil works that we talked about earlier, but we're following after Jesus. We're dying with Jesus. And that's an amazing thing when we think of it like that. We get to die with Jesus. But it's not good enough just to die. You know, death is a part of Christianity in a spiritual sense. But God has commanded us not just to die, but to live for Jesus. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. God doesn't want us to just remain on the cross spiritually. He wants to take up our cross and live. To get up and live for Jesus. Be a living sacrifice. It says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. That's talking about Jesus. It says, you also are living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus, through Jesus Christ. We're all living stones. We make up the church today, don't we? And it says that we can offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. It's not good enough just to die with Jesus. We need to live for Jesus every day, to get up and to be more like him and to live for him. But I want to tell you this morning, greatest of all that I could possibly talk about today is that if you are willing to die with Jesus and you're willing to live for Jesus, I'm going to tell you one day you're going to be able to live with Jesus. Look at what John said in Revelation. It says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. John had this vision about heaven and about seeing Jesus for the first time. You know, I really can't understand what it's going to be like when I get to see Jesus for the first time. I really hope to see every one of you there in heaven. I hope to see Michaela, my wife, in heaven. I hope to see Caleb, my son, in heaven. I hope to see all of my family in heaven. But I want to tell you that nothing else matters other than seeing Jesus and living with Jesus in heaven. I mean, think about that. You get to live with Jesus. Isn't that amazing? I love how Job puts it. Job chapter 19. The man that went through everything, this is what he says. For I know that my Redeemer lives and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself and my eyes shall behold and not another. How my heart yearns within me. This man had lost everything in his life. This man had lost all his family, all his livestock, almost his very life. But he still has Jesus. And he said, my heart yearns. I am longing for the day to see Jesus. There's a song that this reminds me of when I was a kid. I listened to quite often. Maybe you're familiar with the group Diatessaron. They sang a song called, I Bowed on My Knees and Cried Holy. And that song really just paints the picture for me in my mind. Tries to see what it would be like to see Jesus for the first time. The song goes like this. I dreamed of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gates, I cried holy. The angels, they all met me there. They showed me from mansion to mansion. And oh, the sights I saw. But I said, I want to see Jesus. He's the one who died for all. And I bowed on my knees and I cried, holy, holy, holy. I wept. I clapped my hands and sang, glory, glory to the Son of God. This is just a picture. I don't really know what it's going to be like, but here's the truth, brothers and sisters. Every single one of us is going to bow before Jesus. Every single one of us, one day, is going to see Jesus face to face. It's not just something that we read in the Bible. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. You're going to get to see Jesus for the first time, and there is nothing that you can do other than drop on your knees as a dead person and cry out and praise Jesus because of how holy he is, how amazing, how awesome Jesus is. We've talked about his greatness this morning, haven't we? We're going to get to experience his greatness like we've never even thought of. One day, and that day is coming. But don't let that be the first time. Today we can honor Jesus as King. Today we can show that Jesus is our everything by dying with him, by living for him, and in doing so, one day, I'm going to tell you, you're going to live with Jesus. Don't you want to live with Jesus? Can't you just picture in your mind what it's going to be like for the first time? And that you get to be in the house of God forever, and you never get to leave? If you want that this morning, you can have that. Jesus wants to see you there. Jesus wants you to be with him forever. And this morning, if you're not right with God, you don't get to look forward to that day. But I'm going to tell you, one day you are going to bow before him and praise him, but today you can do that by coming to him. Maybe you're the person that is drowning. We've talked about being Christians this morning and living for Jesus. Maybe there's just something weighing heavy on your heart. As we talked about, Jesus came to this earth for a reason, and that's to understand what you're going through. And that's to help you with what you're going through. And today, he wants to do that very thing. If we can help you and assist you in any way, Jesus wants to help you. Jesus wants to do the work and to save you and to forgive you. If we can help in any way, please have a seat on the front row as we stand and sing.